I'm here doing this podcast today. I'm not dead. I'm really happy. I made it home, and I made it home in time to kind of hang out and relax. And I got home and I had a nice glass of wine and chilled on the patio. And it was a fantastic afternoon. I didn't have to stress about safety.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to an awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining. Normally, I would say us, but today, as you can see, we are missing Carson. So thanks for joining me today in this beautiful, foggy day outside where nobody is getting to fly. I am so sad. I don't even see any airplanes flying through the air, unfortunately, like I normally am out the window. But Carson's not feeling very well today. He had a little run-in at the doctor yesterday, so he wanted to take a few days off of work. Actually, I told him he had to take a few days off of work so he didn't hurt himself or get any more stress. So he's taking off for today, and you just get to see my beautiful, shining face like usual. Today, we're actually going to be talking about a flight that I did last weekend and talking about aeronautical decision-making and certain things that really relate to me as a pilot, and I had to make a choice this weekend. So I ended up flying out on Friday to Las Vegas from Riverside Airport. So I was thinking about going to Las Vegas International Airport. And by the way, let me give you some background on this. I have this trip planned with Nicole and her family. We're going to go see this wonderful hockey game and the Eagles at the Spear and all these cool things. And for 2 months, I've said, I want to take the Aerostar to Vegas, right? So I made sure that I'm all current. I flew the Duchess and got current a few weeks ago. I made sure I did all the things I needed to on my side. I also knew the Aerostar was going to go into maintenance. And I know that when the Aerostar goes into maintenance, it takes 2 or 3 weeks sometimes to get out of maintenance. So I've been talking to Rich for weeks and weeks and weeks. Hey, is everything good? Is everything good? Is everything good? And he said, I will have it done by Friday. And this was on Monday of last week. I said, okay, fantastic. I just want to make sure because I need to pick it up at like 12 noon on Friday. So he let me know it was going to be ready by 12 noon on Friday. And he told me some little things that they were working on to keep an eye out. No problem, but it just gets out of annual. As everybody knows, the most dangerous time to fly an airplane is right when it gets out of annual. And it was for me. It wasn't like totally dangerous at all, but you always never know when unexpected things are going to pop up. So I ended up getting to Riverside Airport. I was having a great day. Ended up seeing some friends there. One of my old students was going to go take a CFI ride. Speaking of that, I need to follow up with Kyung Min and see if he passed his CFI check ride. He had a CFI check ride on Saturday, so I got to check up with him. But we ended up doing a pre-flight. Pre-flight went great. No problems with the aircraft. Got some fuel in it. Ended up doing a great run-up, made sure everything was working perfect. Plane's working perfect. No issues whatsoever. I know that it just had some maintenance done on the hydraulic system as well. And that's why it was taking a little bit longer because the maintenance on the hydraulic system was really hard to get to because it's really deep in the tail. So I wanted to double check all of the hydraulic systems and everything was looking perfect. I did not see one issue with the airplane. Ended up taking off and heading over to Vegas. And I was thinking to myself, this thing's climbing a little more sluggish than usual, but it wasn't there. I was reading the wrong V-speed on my checklist. So I ended up not pulling back enough, but I mean, it was fine. After I found out what I did wrong about 5 seconds after I took off, I just pulled the nose back up and I was able to climb faster anyways. So ended up taking off, uneventful takeoff. Me getting used to that autopilot again is always a fun one. So I ended up just tuning to a heading, and then I was able to finish up putting out my flight plan because ATC had me kind of going all over the place right after I took off. So I ended up plugging in my new flight plan, which into GTN 750, or it's not a 750 in that airplane. It's actually the Avadyne version. So whatever the Avadyne version of the 530, it's touchscreen. It's really, really cool. I ended up plugging it in and ended up going fine. They diverted me a few times, probably for the traffic out of Ontario Airport. Ended up going up and over the mountains, uneventful. Once I got to my cruising altitude, and I think I wanted to get 15,500 or something, but they kept on leveling me off for other traffic. So I think I stayed at 13.5. I'd have to check my ForeFlight to find out what I actually stayed. But I think for the majority of the time I stayed at 13.5 or maybe 15.5. That plane's also pressurized. So I always get anxious about the pressurization system. Is it working properly? Pressurization system worked flawlessly. No issues there. Obviously, it just came out of maintenance. It should be working flawlessly, right? So it was. And I was flying along and we finally leveled off at cruise. And when we leveled off at cruise, ended up getting 220 knot ground speed. And then I ended up climbing a little bit more and I got 240 knot ground speed. So if you know the calculation, it's 1.15 for miles per hour. So if you want to calculate that, 200 is 230 miles per hour. So like 230 knots, you're looking at almost 250 miles an hour we were going over the ground. It was incredibly fast and it was phenomenal. As soon as we got over the hills in San Bernardino area, the GPS said it was like 32 minutes to get to Vegas, which is probably faster than most jets get there because they're climbing, leveling off, and then descending and going a SID or something. So it was really going to be a short flight. Well, as we're flying along, everything's going fantastic. I'm, of course, monitoring the engines, monitoring everything. On the way there, what do I see? I see a problem with the right engine's gauge. I see the manifold pressure bouncing. Boop, 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 boop. You like my sound effects? I know. They're phenomenal. Yes. Just give me a like below as soon as you like my sound effects. And if you don't like them, oh well, I'm sorry. I ended up looking at that and I was wondering what's going on. So I messed with the engines a little bit and took my headset off and I tried to listen and I didn't hear any noticeable change. So I figured it's just a gauge issue. And I still think it might be a gauge issue. It needs to get diagnosed. So I ended up doing that. And then we're continuing along and I'm looking at the pressure of the hydraulic system. And the pressure on the hydraulic system is not showing what it should show. So I'm looking at that and I'm trying to diagnose, okay, what's going on with that? Is there any problem? And because I know the systems on this Aerostar, I know that if I lose all my hydraulic pressure, worst thing that happens is my gear falls down. By the way, if the gear falls down, it means it will fall into a locked position and it will allow me to land with the gear down, right? So worst case scenario is my flaps won't work. I'm not too worried about that. I can go to Las Vegas airport if I really was stressed out about density altitude or something, but it was not a high density altitude day. It was fairly cool out. So I knew that even without flaps, I can still go to Henderson. By the way, I did not pick Las Vegas Airport for a big reason. Their fuel prices were double the price of Henderson Airport. It was like $10 a gallon for Atlantic or Signature at Las Vegas International Airport. And if I went to Henderson, it was like $5.50. So I guess maybe not quite double, but pretty close to double the price. So that's why we ended up picking Henderson Airport. And I like Henderson Airport. It's the first place I ever went on my first long cross country. The people there are always nice. I always see celebrities there. It's kind of a fun place to land. And I sometimes still see some of my friends that have airplanes there. So I like Henderson Airport. Ended up going all the way to Henderson, landed uneventfully, no problems whatsoever. But in the back of my mind all weekend, I was thinking to myself, I need a backup plan. What happens if the pressure on this hydraulic system's lower than I expect it to be? What if I have this same gauge issue and it's maybe not a gauge issue on that right engine? And what happens if it's actually maybe the turbo going out, which I thought it might be, right? So I'm thinking to myself kind of all weekend and not telling anybody about it, just thinking to myself like, hey, what should I do about this? So I came to the conclusion, if I came to the airport on Sunday morning and there's no hydraulic fluid missing, the hydraulic fluid it's full inside the container of it, right? If it's full, even if my gauge says it's not perfect, it says it's a little low, I'm going to check my flaps, make sure everything's working correctly. And I'm going to make sure with my mechanic, it's safe to go. And I'm also going to see about that gauge, if it's improperly showing something or if it's an actual issue. Either way, I didn't see them as safety of flight issues if I was able to check them properly. And I wanted to make sure what the issue was. And I can kind of get the sign off from the mechanic. Hey, it's fine. Just get it back over to maintenance and we can do like a deeper look at it. So I get to the airport. And before I get to the airport, I had a missed phone call. And I get like 40 phone calls a day from just spammers, right? So I can't stand phone calls to my phone. So I don't answer anybody who is I don't have them saved to my phone. Literally the other day I turned off. So if your phone number is not saved to my phone, it just doesn't ring for me. It just sends you to voicemail and it's fantastic. On the way to the airport, I saw a 702 area code called me. And I was wondering, why is a 702 area code? Maybe we had left something at the hotel. I went and had breakfast with my cousins and my aunt and uncle in Vegas. I was like, oh, maybe they called me and somebody's using a different phone number or the restaurant. I don't know. So I ended up opening up my phone and I listened to this voicemail, and the voicemail said, "Hi, I'm leaving this this message for the owner of the tail number I was flying, or Brandon Martini." I was like, "Oh, perfect. Okay, so that's me." So they definitely meant to call me. "I'm with Henderson Airport, and I want to let you know we found oil on the side of your airplane." Huh. On the right side of my airplane. Same side that had that, what I called a gauge issue, right? I was like, "Okay, well, I know this engine and Aerostars in particular spit out a lot of oil, especially when it's a brand new oil change. It spits out a bunch of oil on the right wing and right side of the aircraft. So I've seen that happen before, and it just levels off at like nine quarts. So I wasn't too worried about that at first. But then they said, we see another substance on the ground and we think it's hydraulic fluid." It's like, uh-oh, this isn't a good thing to get on a voicemail. So immediately I already started kind of looking up backup plans, because I already figured if there's hydraulic fluid all over the ground, this flight's out. Now, if it's just a few drips, I know why it's down a little low. I can just add some more hydraulic fluid. Boom, I solved the issue. I can get it home. We can get that leak fixed when I get home and we won't have any issues. So I was thinking to myself, oh, this is good. If it's only a small leak, no big deal. Well, I get to the airplane and it didn't have a small leak. All of the hydraulic fluid from the entire aircraft dumped all over the ground. And the airport actually put kitty litter down to clean it up for me. And when I got to the airplane, I just saw, I don't know, I can't even do it on this screen, but like a 6-foot giant pile of kitty litter cleaning up all of this this hydraulic fluid. So as soon as I saw that, I told myself, well, guess who's not flying to California today? And that was me. So I had all these backup plans in my head, and of course I have get there itis. I want to get home. I want to go pick up my dog from the dog sitter. I need to go pick up my son because he's at his mom's house for the weekend. And I want to go do all these things, and I need to do all these things. So I'm thinking, okay, how can I do this? And then I step back for a second. What am I doing? There's no reason for me to go try to fly an airplane with a gear down all the way, with no flaps, with an engine that had lost a whole bunch of oil. And I told myself, I have a classic case of get there itis. Because for a second I thought, could I do this flight? Could I just do it in a creative way and get myself home? And I was thinking, well, I don't know if that's legal. Number one, that was the big reason, right? Number two is it's not safe. So I ran through my PAVE and I'm safe checklist, and I decided, nope, I'm not doing this. There is no reason for me to risk myself or loved ones in this plane. I have to make the call and state that we're going to leave the airplane. I wasn't happy about this because obviously it's at a foreign airport. I don't know mechanics there. I don't have any insight into getting this plane fixed quickly there. And it might be a warranty issue on something they just worked on in maintenance at the annual. Unfortunately, I can't get the plane back and I can't get the mechanic out to Vegas to go look at it, right? So I made that choice. It was the right choice. It was a legal choice. It was the safest choice to leave the airplane and figure out how to get home.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
So Brandon had a great idea, of course, like I always do. Ha ha. I called up my friend Darius. He has a PA-32 260. I think it's a 260. I'd have to double check with him. But it's an amazing Cherokee 6. I've flown it many of times. Darius has let me even borrow it every once in a while. And I hit him up and I said, "Hey, Darius, are you around the airport today? Are you in Henderson and you feel like going flying today?" And he said, "Well, I feel like going flying and I'm already flying. I'm in a Mooney right now and I'm with my buddy and we just went to go grab lunch." So he was in a Mooney 30 minutes away. He said, "Well, I'm on my way back. I need to go get the keys and a logbook entry from my mechanic who just worked on my Cherokee 6. And as long as he's there and I can get the keys, I'll bring you home. I was like, perfect. I still get to go fly. I still get to get home on time. And Darius will be back in 30 minutes. I was like, oh, this is like made in heaven. Everything worked out perfect. Well, unfortunately, Darius gets back to the airport and I got to see him. We got to hang out and gave him a big hug because I love seeing him. And we talked about golfing and all sorts of fun stuff that we do besides flying together. And we said, okay, so you think you can get the keys? And he called up the guy and the guy was like, oh, I can't be there for 3 or 4 hours. I'm like, oh, well, that kind of sucks. 3 or 4 hours isn't going to work because then I'll miss all the other commercial flights leaving Vegas area until like 8 or 10 p.m. at night. And I could do that and stay till 8 or 10 p.m. at night. But the real issue was if I stayed that late, well, then I'm going to have trouble getting the dog. Austin's going to be getting home a little too late. He's got school in the morning. All of these different problems, right, that I now have to solve. So Darius couldn't fly. So I said, okay, well, three choices here. Choice one, we could get on a flight via Southwest. Southwest had flights to Ontario because I had to go pick up my son in Riverside. But we would have had to rush to get to the airport. And there was a 50% chance we'd miss it or we wouldn't be able to check our bag. So I said, okay, I don't think that works out. And flights were like $500 or $600 for a one-way flight via Southwest for that short of a flight. It was a really bad deal. So, okay, what's another option? Are there any other flights that can do it? Yes, there were other flights. They were equally as expensive or more expensive, and they had layovers in like Phoenix. So I didn't want to do that because that got me home super late again. All right, so here lies the final question. Is JSX available? And I looked up and JSX had two seats or three seats available on a flight that was an hour and 20 minutes away. So I was thinking to myself, okay, how much are these? Well, they were about the same price as the Southwest flights, which were obviously not great pricing, but I could get there and I know I only have to get there like 20 minutes ahead of time to check in for my flight. So if I'm able to get there 20 minutes ahead of time, I have time to kind of hang out and BS with Darius a little bit more. I'm not in a big hurry to get over to the airport. I can have some snacks at the airport. I can relax. There's no stress involved. I already know that that's a possibility. But JSX can only go to Santa Ana. So I was thinking, well, how am I going to go get Austin from Riverside? I would have to go home, go get a car, and then drive over to Riverside. So I asked him, I said, hey, Austin, I've got this big problem. Can you ask your grandfather if he'll bring you to John Wayne, which was 40 minutes away? And thankfully, he said yes. And then we had an Uber waiting for us when we arrived to pick us up. And Austin got dropped off right when we landed as well. So we were able to take JSX back home and we had the Uber pick us up and Austin got dropped off there. We ended up going home. We didn't get the dog. We got the dog the next day just because we were tired of the day and driving and flying and all that stuff. So we got the dog the next day. But everything ended up working out. So today on my agenda this afternoon is actually to make a phone call to the maintenance shop in Henderson and try to get this solved. I need to get this airplane back. It's not even my airplane. It's my friend's airplane that I borrowed. So now I'm responsible for getting it back. I'm responsible for getting it repaired. And the last time I flew this airplane, I was on my way to Napa and I burnt out the starter. So I'm not having very good luck with this airplane right now for some reason. Two times that I've flown it, there's an issue, but I'm hoping we can get both of these problems solved in the next week or so. So when I call this afternoon, I have a feeling I'll find out what happened. My guess is there's an issue with the turbo on the engine number on the right engine. And I'm guessing there's an issue on the gauge on the hydraulic system. And I'm guessing it was overpressurized and we burnt out some type of seal somewhere and it blew after I put the landing gear down and put flaps down on that final landing. So that's my best guess on what happened. Obviously, I won't know until the maintenance shop looks at it. But it was a very eventful weekend from flying there pretty uneventfully, except for en route. I noticed those two things, to getting that phone call, to seeing it with my own eyes. And then just me thinking through the aeronautical decision-making matrix, right? Thinking about that PAVE checklist and thinking about I'm safe checklist and if I should do this. And I ended up spending the money. It was ended up being, I don't know, $1,200 to get home. But I'll tell you this, I'm here doing this podcast today. I'm not dead. I'm really happy I made it home. And I made it home in time to kind of hang out and relax. And I got home and I had a nice glass of wine and chilled on the patio. And it was a fantastic afternoon. I didn't have to stress about safety. So the moral of the story is there's going to be odd things that come up in aviation all the time. Make sure that you don't rush through them. Make sure you go do your pre-flights. Make sure that you're looking and scanning your instruments throughout your entire flight. Make sure that you're doing your I'm safe checklist, your PAVE checklist, all of these things that you learn when you are a student that sometimes you take advantage or take for granted as you become a more seasoned pilot. Because I know that when I was a younger pilot, I've been a pilot now for over 10 years. When I first started, I don't know if I would have tried to push the envelope because I didn't have the extra money to get myself home. Nowadays, I'm fortunate enough where I've worked hard enough and saved long enough where I don't have to worry about those things, about getting home and having to spend that extra money. But if I was a younger pilot and I was just learning, I don't know if I would have had the money to do that. So I probably would have had to drive a rental car or something, and coming up with a 5-hour drive when it's unexpected and a $300 rental car still might have been a push. So if this does happen to you and you happen to be in that predicament, I want to make sure that you reach out to either your parents or trusted friend or an aunt or an uncle, somebody who will tell you, hey, I will give you the money. You can pay me back in a year or never, it doesn't matter, and just get back safely and go spend the money on that airline ticket or spend the money on that rental car, whatever it may be, because it's not worth your safety. And I guarantee if you tell them, hey, it's a safety issue, I don't want to risk this, I want to come back home safe, your friends and loved ones and family will all tell you the same thing. Here's the $300 or here's the $500 or even here's the $1,500, just get home safe. I know that for a fact. And if you're ever in that predicament, just go reach out to people even at the airport. I guarantee you tell somebody at the airport, hey, I really need a ride home, I don't have any cash or something like that. Somebody's going to help. So don't give up on getting help if you need it. So if you have a story like this, or if you have something that you want to share with our listeners, please drop a comment below or shoot us an email. Let us know what's happened to you and how you overcome the situation. And I just knew this was a newer problem that I had to deal with, and I wanted to share it with all of you today. And I thought it was fitting with Carson not being here today. And I hope you gain something from this overall, and you're making the right decisions. So don't forget those checklists. Those checklists are important, not just the one for the airplane, but also the one for your mental, physical, and overall health, so you can get home safely. With that being said, I thank you again for listening to us today. I really appreciate it. Oh, I said us. Look at that. Thank you for listening to me today. I really appreciate it. It was fun to tell you this story, and I hope you learned something from it. If you'd like to reach out to either me or Carson, it's Brandon@AviationMentors.com. For Carson, it's Carson@AviationMentors.com. Please don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, do all the things on social media really help this podcast grow. It really helps us grow the podcast as well as the aviation community. We'd really appreciate it. And I'm hoping you're watching us on YouTube by now. But if not, thank you for listening to us in the car or hopefully maybe even in an airplane. I think that'd be fun. If you have listened to us in an airplane, please let us know. I think that'd be really cool to talk about and share with all the other listeners. And Carson's favorite line of the day, as we wrap out for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride. Thanks so much.